from Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org. I'm Nicole Ugrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, December 30th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
The late President Jimmy Carter tried to keep his presidency closer to the American public by holding town hall meetings around the country. In 1978, he visited Bangor.
We've had town meetings now since I've been president in Massachusetts and in Mississippi. We'll have an hour and a half. I'd like to make a brief opening statement on a subject that is important to you, and then I'll answer questions. I'll take the last question about 20 minutes after 9.
The president appeared before a crowd of 2,500 at the Bangor Auditorium, opening with a brief speech on energy policy and noting that he had arrived in Maine just 10 days after a historic snowstorm known as the Blizzard of 78. Carter said that while Mainers were experts on living and working in cold weather, they were unfairly burdened with some of the highest heating costs in the country.
The energy cost you about 45% more than the average place in our country. No part of a nation has suffered more from a lack of a comprehensive national energy plan than has New England.
Carter called for conservation of oil, increased domestic energy production, and for finding more plentiful sources of energy. He then opened the floor to questions. Some involved issues that were unfolding in Maine at the time, a dam project in northern Maine that ultimately wasn't built, the Indian land claim case that would be settled 2 years later in 1980, and the future of a major military facility that had been targeted for closure.
My question, Mr. President, is what are your feelings on the proposal to close Loring Air Force Base?
I have asked Secretary of Defense Harold Brown to reassess the decision made by the previous administration about Loring. And I've told him to take into consideration not just environmental questions and defense questions, but also the economic impact on Maine of closing Loring Air Force Base.
Loring would remain operational for well over a decade longer before becoming a casualty of the base realignment and closure process. For an hour and a half, the president fielded questions about national health insurance, abortion, the Equal Rights Amendment, and arms sales to foreign powers before signing off.
And I would just like to remind you of one thing in closing. We do have problems economically, politically. Sometimes we've been embarrassed with our government officials' actions, but we're still the strongest nation on earth. We're still the best nation on earth. We're still the greatest nation on earth. And I think all of us would serve ourselves and our country well to think about the good things and the positive things and the tremendous future that we have as Americans. Thank you very much.
President Jimmy Carter died Sunday at the age of 100. You can watch the entire town hall in Bangor with then-President Carter, which was broadcast by Maine Public, then known as NPBN, in 1978. There's a link with this story on our website.
Help dig us out.
Help dig us out.
Help dig us out.
That's the opening to a video that was prepared to attract federal funding for a Portland Harbor dredging project. Portland Harbor Commission Vice Chair John Henshaw says the work will finally begin in January.
It took quite a long time to line up the funding, but we, through a combination of federal funding, state funding, and funding from the cities, we've assembled roughly $21 million for this purpose.
$8 million of that will be spent excavating a hole, or a CAD cell, in a shallow part of the harbor near the South Portland Coast Guard base. The work should be finished sometime in February. After that, Henshaw says polluted sediment will be dumped into the CAD cell from the various piers, wharves, and marinas along the harbor where it has accumulated over time. The Taconic Bridge will close to all traffic in Waterville and Winslow starting next Monday. The Maine Department of Transportation is replacing the bridge, which carries Route 201 over the Kennebec River. Drivers will be detoured south to the Carter Memorial Bridge. Pedestrians will be detailed north to the 2 Cent Bridge. Maine DOT says eastbound traffic will be allowed on the bridge again in about 6 months, but westbound traffic will remain closed to vehicles for 12 to 18 months while the construction continues. DOT says parts of the Taconic Bridge are more than 100 years old and are at the end of their useful life. Construction on the project is expected to wrap in May 2027. The city of Lewiston will raise a new 10-foot-tall statue on Main Street in honor of boxer Muhammad Ali. The design is based on an iconic photo taken in 1965, when Ali fought Sonny Liston in a heavyweight championship rematch at what is now the Lewiston Colossae, after a deal with the Boston Garden fell through. In a legendary moment in sports, Ali knocked Liston out in the first round, generating controversy at the time over whether the fight was fixed. He returned to Lewiston in 1995 on the 30th anniversary of the fight. The statue will be unveiled in May, around the 60-year anniversary of Ali's win. As the holiday season winds down, many Mainers are looking for an eco-friendly way to dispose of their Christmas trees. In addition to composting them or chopping them up for firewood, some farmers take a less conventional approach, feeding the trees to goats. Molly Enking has more.
Sunflower Farm Creamery in Cumberland has been taking Christmas tree donations for their goats for years. Farmer Hope Hall says it gives the Christmas trees a whole other life cycle after the holidays.
And they eat all the needles off it, which give them good nutrients that they need anyway. It's an activity for them to do in the winter, something that keeps them busy. Then they eat all the bark off it. They strip the trees until they look like a piece of driftwood. It's really kind of cool. And then in the spring, they use them to rub against to get their undercoat out. The Christmas tree lives on long after Christmas if you drop it off at somebody's farm.
It's important to make sure any trees donated aren't treated with pesticides or artificial coloring, Hall says, and to call your local farm to make sure they're still taking donations before you go. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Molly Enking.
For about 25 years, an organization known as Safe Passage has operated a school in one of Guatemala City's poorest neighborhoods, supporting hundreds of students last year alone. It was founded by Maine native and Bowdoin College graduate Hanley Denning, who was inspired by the children and families she met living around the Guatemala City garbage dump. When Denning was killed in a car crash in Guatemala in 2007, her work carried on. And over the last two decades, Safe Passage has witnessed broad changes in the country, including deepening economic inequality and a sudden rise in organized crime. Ari Snyder spoke with Safe Passage Executive Director Aaron Mooney about how the organization is responding.
I want to start out with asking, how have you seen economic conditions in Guatemala change over the last 25 years?
Guatemala has changed a lot in the last 25 years. I mean, 25 years ago, it was just coming out of a civil war. Guatemala is no longer a low-income country as defined by the World Bank. It's actually a middle-income country. It just happens to have one of the highest income inequality rates in the world. It ranks 15 in income inequality.
Another thing I was curious about is how the rise of organized crime has impacted the children you serve in Guatemala and how you're able to operate there as an organization.
Yeah, we've seen a pretty abrupt rise in organized crime in the last year. It didn't catch us on our back foot because it's always been a very challenged community and very much a gang impacted community since the very beginning. And because of other geopolitical factors in the last couple of years, like the crackdown on gang violence in El Salvador, we've seen an overflow of gang leaders who, you know, likely to be imprisoned in El Salvador have come into our community and taken over local gang factions. So Safe Passage, because we've been working in the community for 25 years, the gangs have really left us alone for the most part, but we're seeing a shift in that. One of our external security guards, who was a father of a student, was extorted and murdered this year about a block from the school. And we've seen an increase in violence, you know, directly around our building.
How does the rise of violence in the community impact the lives of the children that you're working with?
Many of our students experience things that no child should experience. When we hear about a murder, which we hear about regularly, it's almost assured that one of our students will be impacted. It's a cousin, it's an uncle, it's a neighbor, it's a friend. We are having to make room for conversations in the classroom that is really unlike many other schools. And Safe Passage is not just a school. We have psychologists, we have social workers. It's a lot of very intense trauma management and navigation and mitigation. And our students are growing and learning and becoming, but carry a very, very abnormally heavy load.
So what are you looking forward to in the new year? I understand you're planning to open a new school.
Yes, we're under construction right now of a new middle school building, and that will give us four sites. We have an early childhood site. We have an elementary school site that's now shared with elementary and middle school, and they're really packed in there. So our middle school students will move to their own beautiful campus, and then we have a high school site as well. In responding to the violence issue, we need more mindfulness in the classroom, more meditation tools, more social work, more psychology, giving students a safe, loving, warm, trauma-informed, trained place to process what they're processing. And, you know, really intentionally continuing to build the leadership of our students and support them as they see themselves, our students that see themselves college bound or that see themselves as change makers, that's what's going to break these cycles. That's what's going to change Guatemala. And then I think last but not least, it's our 25th anniversary. So we are going to take moments in 2025 to celebrate. And I think the next 25 years of Safe Passage is going to be more Guatemalan led. Our students are really going to lead the way, and our Guatemalan staff. And so taking this opportunity to celebrate that and really be grateful.
Well, Erin, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Such a pleasure to be here.
That was Ari Snyder speaking with Safe Passage Executive Director Erin Mooney. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, Maine's greatest athletes. I'm Nicole Grisco. Thanks for listening.